Hi, Cole. What are you doing this time?
Well, Gary, what you'll see here is something I got off of eBay. It is a fantastic original model Stretch Armstrong. Yeah.
Everyone's favorite tiny muscle friend.
Yeah, this isn't that weird 90s one that was full of corn syrup. This is one that was full of toxic stuff.
Yeah.
However, these were not made to last, so it is as hard as stone. It no longer functions as a Stretch Armstrong. He is a stiff Armstrong.
Are you going to make a Stretch Armstrong wall banger? Are we going to open him up and make a cocktail out of the discredited innards?
We got to soften them up first. So I'm going to pop them in this microwave.
Okay.
Let's see here. 30 seconds will do. And then we'll see what comes out.
Cool. Cool.
Yeah.
I know we're not doing a Stretch Armstrong game, but Stretch Armstrong and the Flex Fighters? Do you know about that?
No, I don't.
Okay. But anyway, guess what year it came out? Don't look it up.
Stretch Armstrong and the Stretch Fighters, Flex
And the
Fighters.
Flex Fighters.
Okay, I would want to say 2002.
2017.
Oh God, no!
No.
I thought I was being daring when I went from 19 to 2000.
No.
2017.
2 years ago, the Flex Fighters
That's
first joined up.
yeah. Maybe that's why this thing was so expensive.
It's got Stretch, Wingspan, Omni-Mass, Dr. C, and Blind Strike.
I'm Wingspan.
versus their Wil Wheaton voiced villain, Stretch Monster.
Good first draft there, buddies. Oh wait, you went to print with that? Okay.
Yes, indeed. Anyway, we can't just do two extended universe like where we just explain a extended universe out of separate,
Not
especially not when it's.
everybody got that. Not everybody got that episode.
Yeah. I just mean for us. Like, I just don't want to be like it. And also, we're not doing a Stretch Armstrong game, presumably. I know that it has not been revealed yet.
Right. It has not. Yeah, I mean, it would be too on the nose if I just went and got a Stretch Armstrong and then it was this.
It's not really like a revelation. Like, just, hey guys, I bought the tie-in.
Okay, let me open this up. Oh, it's like all goopy and but like we talked for too long, so it kind of hardened again. There's like a disc
Okay.
here. Like it hardened into is that
Oh.
like roughly the size of a DVD?
It's roughly the size of a DVD. I don't know what kind of organ Stretch Armstrong has going on inside of him.
I think it's I mean I think he's like a monotreme. I think it's like one in one out policy, and
Okay.
it's all just like open.
Well, let's put one in him so we can get this one out of him.
Okay, yeah. So I will take this the single copy of Tears of a Clown, put it in there, and let's take out the disc. Ooh, it's still warm. Okay, pop
Can't
this
put coffee.
into my oh, it's Stretch Panic.
Oh no.
Nah.
Nope.
Nice try.
Yep, nope. I don't care to hear your spirited defenses of this. To buy a Stretch Armstrong now.
I had one in the 90s. Wait, like well, what like
Gross.
when there was a so like they're like two different models. Like the
Yeah.
new one, I got the new one that looks like Buddy Christ.
Yeah. Yep, the rictus grin Armstrong. Yeah. The rigor mortis Armstrong.
But like that was the one that had the corn syrup inside, I think. I
Yeah.
forget. It might be the old one that had the corn syrup.
Dip him in your coffee. At this guy I'm putting into eBay real quick. And we're gonna do tons of visual stuff on this podcast, but I want this guy.
Let me see here. Oh, wow. This is a
Yeah.
Stretch Armstrong X-ray figurine. So we do like we just answered what is going on inside a Stretch Armstrong.
Yeah, he has organs like we do, but
He's
not
not,
bones.
we're not so different, you and I.
You and I, Stretch Armstrong. This is like from the extended universe. This is a character named X-Ray who is a see-through monster. And he has a set of organs inside him.
They made so they did license ones too. Like so I understand Miss Fantastic. or not Miss Fantastic. What's her name? Miss Impossible. Yeah. I understand her.
Childbearing hips and a half, dude.
Ooh, yeah. So that came out a little bit too late for me to have a sexual awakening, but.
But yeah, would have definitely like the powerful mom vibes and you know, birthing hips. Like,
yeah.
Would have done it.
But I don't understand why the Joker is suddenly stretchy.
It's Stretch Joker. The new kind of Joker.
Yep. He drank too much venom. He turned into a strong clown. And then
he became a.
Yeah. And then when he shrunk back down to regular size, he had to do, like, yeah, he still had all that biomass.
Yeah, yeah. He ate too many, like, Stretch Armstrongs.
Yeah. It is ridiculous that they went with DC for the licensing and not fucking Marvel. Like, it would make sense to do.
Mr. Fantastic. Yeah. And it's also not fucking Mr. Impossible or whatever.
Yeah.
Or, like, Plastic Man.
Yeah.
You know, like, DC does have its cadre of stretching idiots, but it's not as much of a flagship.
Powder that makes you buy Stretch Armstrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess, Clayface.
Oh, yeah. Clayface would be a good one. But he's not here.
Yeah, they didn't. They he would have. Yes, he would have.
Yeah. Like, there's a lot of good opportunities. Oh, my dipshit cat just fell off the windowsill. Sorry. If anybody heard of
Stretch Bump. Arm Greta.
Yeah, Stretch Arm Greta. I'm talking about you. What of it?
Suck it. Stretch Panic.
Stretch Panic. What's your name, Gary?
Oh, I was trying to sneak it past Gary Butterfield.
I'm Cole Ross.
Suffering the show where we play by games, so you don't have to.
Why are you doing
Stretch Panic.
This was a demand. I need to give, we need to give credit to the person who paid us to do this.
I know, but I was going to say, who presented to Stretch Panic.
Oh, okay. So this is Terra. It was one of the first games that they got when they got a PS2. Promise you won't quit until you find the stage with the bikini women. I need to hear your reactions to this.
It is the first stage you can go into.
Yes.
But there are, like, conservatively, like, 45 minutes of intro that just still feel like demon boxes swirling through comic book frames and stuff.
Yeah. My eyes kind of glossed over at that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty boring. On the intro, but then, like, when you actually start and you're in, like, kind of the Mausoleum of Despair or whatever it's called,
the Mausoleum of Despair with that awesome, like, sketch filter over it and the banging music,
which is pretty great.
Yeah.
That part, what is it? It's not the Mausoleum of Despair. What is it actually called?
I forget. It's like the Gallery of Vanity or something like that.
Yeah.
Because, like, so for as boring as that intro is, the intro is boring and it doesn't convey the actual cool, like, the actual cool thing about the premise, which is a box shows up at this house where a bunch of sisters live and all, like, it promises.
Say
all...
no more. I think it's already pretty interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, like, it shows up with all these sisters, and it's like a devil box that promises to give them make them exactly what their concept of beauty is. And then it warps them into monsters, all except for, I think, the youngest one. Instead, the demon just inhabits her scarf and it gives her the ability to stretch and pinch things.
Yes.
So, like, the idea of, like, a boss fight game where you're going around, like, fighting all of these different grotesque versions of, like, what beauty could be. Cool. Sign me up.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And that you have this, like, ability to manipulate your environment and do things with it, but it's just really underutilized.
Yeah.
And maybe later in the game you do more with it, but here it's just an attack.
Yeah, it's
like, in at least the time I played it, like, it doesn't feel inventive. It just feels like an awkward attack.
Yeah, it feels like an awkward attack. And by watching videos of the later boss fights, it's pretty much two things. You have to, like, grab onto the weak point and pull it so it snaps and does damage, or you have to grab at the ground or different parts of the geometry and then use that to kind of, like, rubber band yourself as a projectile into the body. And that's how
you jump too.
Yeah. So your movement is limited outside of your scarf, I guess, making this kind of a grappling hook game, in a very stretched definition of that. Haha. But yeah, it's pretty awkward, and pretty much everything about this says, oh yeah, Treasure made a tech demo. Like, this is a little bit like the original Red Faction. They're like, we can do cool stuff with environments on the PS2. Watch us do it.
The Museum of Agony.
Ah, yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah. But it's got, like, portraits of all the sisters up there.
Yep. And you don't like your sisters. You're one of the sisters, and they're all vain. And you get revenge because a demon infests your scarf. Like, you open up a box of demons. 12 of the demons hit your sister. One of the demons hits your scarf. And now you have stretch panic powers. The thing that Tara mentioned is that in the levels, there are very few levels. Like, it's mostly boss fights. Like, a lot of the galleries you go to just go to a boss fight. But they're not, like, particularly interesting boss fights, at least the ones I played. You'd want them each to, like, take advantage of this mechanic in some way, and it didn't feel like they did. The only enemy that you run into in levels are women with gigantic, like inflation porn boobs.
Like straight up, like B style, like fiction. Yeah,
Yes.
like grotesqueries. Like
Like earth balls.
yes, you can
Like
go.
bigger than them, like more my each individual boop has more mass than the entirety of the
The rest
woman.
of the rest of the body. And this is the most famous thing about the game. Like this is what all the reviews kind of like looked at, and it is the only kind of regular enemy in the game, because you have to go to these EX stages in order to kill enough of these to get points to go for the boss fights. And lest you think that they're just kind of like wandering around unable to see, because yes, the upper part of their boob occludes their vision. If you attack them in like wrong ways, they will either do like ground pounds, or what is very funny, their breasts will start flapping around and they will turn into a titty copter.
Yeah, they use their boobs flatten out and they become a helicopter thing. Who are these people?
Don't know. I want to help them. Like it's
Like, it's very odd to replace your Goombas with this. You know, this is the base enemy.
it's like vaguely on theme, because the story is about like grotesque beauty kind of
Yeah,
thing, but
vanity,
like
like,
I mean,
yeah.
it's very obviously, I'm like, if it seems like a fetish thing to me.
Yeah.
I don't
Yeah, it's
know.
weird. Super weird. And it's a pretty like infamous game. Some companies have liked it, or some reviewers liked it.
Some
For the mo
companies.
some
I
companies,
think
some
Treasure is
companies have
pretty
been.
fond of it.
Yeah, Treasure feels okay about it. Treasure is a really weird company. Like, they do some good stuff, but they also do some garbage, and they never get called out for their garbage, it feels like.
No, I like the, so the other suggestions that we got, like Holland and Serg, they both said, oh, so you like Treasure, huh?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. You know, it's they because they don't they just did really bad trying to do 3D. Like, they just didn't, you know, just couldn't hack it, and they shouldn't have tried. You know, it was just the style at the time. They were the victims of the style at the time.
When,
You know?
if they had stuck to their guns, Star Heroes, and just like made really cool 2D games, and
And like shooters. You know, like shoot 'em ups. They would do great.
But instead, like, we really don't get that or have that.
Yeah, we had this weird little middle section, which is a bummer. Yeah, so you go through it, like, you just don't do it. Like, it is pretty wild to see this, and it has that feeling of like,
Like you throw it in like the Mr. Mosquito bucket.
yes, yeah, or like what Utogi or something like that weird PS2 era of
Oh, of like of
trying.
oh yeah, Togi the Shadow Monster, like
Yeah.
is that what that is?
Yeah, something it's
Shit.
it, yeah, it's pretty much that. Like, I don't know if it's actually
No,
called, but
Togi's that's a FromSoft game.
what am I thinking of? Like, not Shadow Man.
It's like Okabe the Shadow Monster. Yeah, something.
Yes.
PS2 Shadow Monster RPG. Let's
Okagi?
see. Okage. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
Okage Shadow
Okagi Shadow
King.
King. Yes, this is like that.
Like what you're talking about is like this kind of like Tim Burton-y kind of again
Monkey Bone
monkey
at
bone.
level.
Like just a grotesque, like just the hyper deformed grotesque kind of style with like slightly gothy kind of overtones to it.
Yes, like Hot Topic Junior kind of stuff. So this is in that wheelhouse to me. The Great Ignorables.
The great ignorables.
Like,
Oh,
Finnegan's Defense too.
just hanging out with a corpse bride. No, I liked the this is just about Okage. I don't know why we got Okage Shadow King when the Japanese title is really good, Me and the Devil King.
Yeah, the Devil King is actually really good.
Oh, well, I never played that. It just like that was part of like that weird fraction of any console generation from PS1 to PS2, where the system came out, they were working on a Final Fantasy, and there was a rush to the market. It was like that and Blue Dragon.
Yeah. Oh, Blue Dragon. God.
Yeah.
Blah.
Blah.
Yeah.
Oh, well. But yeah,
How far did you get in this? Or sorry to cut you off.
Oh, not very far. I like was fighting, I forget which boss it was. Like it was a big old lady that had a Pac-Man mouth kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then PCS2X or whatever crashed and I couldn't get it to load the game again. So.
Yep.
Yep. Which is my experience. I need to fix my install of PC.
Yeah, PS2 emulation is not as good as I want it to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
How about you?
Yeah, about the same.
Yeah.
Just about the same.
So I had trouble, like probably part of my time with this was wandering around in the Gallery of Agony or whatever it was. You know, again, like blissing out to that music. But not able to discern where to go because there are a couple of doodads in the middle. Like there's a bell and there's like a weird Ouroboros kind of floating around. And like, that's how you save your game. Like it was not discernible that like you had to open a door. You had to stretch at it.
Yeah. 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 It's weirdly counterintuitive.
Yeah.
In a way that like, you know, tech demo is a good word for it, where it feels like, it's, you know, they did it because they could.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually it would just become this extra layer of friction just to accomplish very simple tasks.
Yes.
You know,
because that's what this game is. Like, yeah. It's stretching. You got to stretch. It's right there in the title. Come on.
Yeah. And panic.
You got to stretch and panic. Oh, if you are listening to us from the European land, this game is called Freak Out.
Yeah,
you're
yeah.
like, what the and, fuck are you guys talking about?
And the main game fact of it is a big dick. The ASCII art. Did you look at the game fact walkthrough front page by Astro Blue?
Oh my god! So I didn't see the dick, but now I see it.
Yeah, now it's impossible not to see the dick. They, well, their ASCII art thing for Freakout is just a big old dick and ball.
Hey, Gary, I don't want to ask too many personal questions. What's your configuration if looking at an image where the testicles are above the dick, you say, yeah, that's good.
Yeah, mine are in front.
That's what that is.
Yeah, mine are in front. Mine hang down in front like a bull haircut.
Like, yeah, over
what's
top,
your
yeah.
point? Yeah, what's your point? Like they enter first and I enter afterward.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's the when I they come into a room before me, you know, they're leading the way like two trusty steeds. Like I'm a Valkyrie and I'm riding into combat.
Yeah. You know, I'm looking at this logo and yeah, it's like it's an ASCII version of the Freakout logo and like, I guess it's like the oh gosh the words and then off to the right there's a circle. Yeah. Yeah,
front-facing good boy.
Yeah, front-facing good boy. My two heralds.
Yeah.
Well, except one is HER and the other is HAR. Yeah.
enter the
ball now, horns.
Yeah. Entering. Now the warrior.
Yeah.
Ding dong. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I didn't get very far in this just because of technical problems, but
my specific correct anatomy aside, the left side of the ASCII logo is very clearly the head of a penis, you know,
I mean, it's just expanding the stroke to get around the larger capital F.
I don't know, but why is it a diamond shape? Like it's got like a,
hey, Gary, like yeah, a I got another question for you.
Shoot.
No, just
the royal, yeah. Royal gem masters that announced.
Yeah,
presence,
yeah. Are you working with a
crown jewel?
Are you working with a chaos emerald at the tip of your root?
It's more of a diamond.
Okay.
Yeah, but yeah, it's the whole thing is more of a scepter.
Yeah,
you know, a scepter with a bull haircut.
I've never been more upset.
it does make me feel like if I was one of like the. To see me or whatever, those like Vampire the Masquerade.
Oh yeah.
Vampires that like just fleshcraft.
Yep.
Like tell me you wouldn't want to see what it looks like if you just flip them shits around, you know.
I feel kind of bad because what we're doing is just an extended Mr. Show bit about the weird explorer who talks about who just like describes his weird penis that has like hair growing out of the tip of
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Like it's normal.
Yeah. Like but I mean, you know, But what if it were true?
But what like, if? Yes, Bertolt, that, was ba- that was based on me.
Yeah, but yeah, but what if he didn't? this sketch presupposes the man has hair growing out of the tip of his dick. But what if he did?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be neat if there was more to this because, you know, I think that a lot of the affection just comes from the weirdness and audacity, right? Like, you know, you can just kind of look at it as emblematic again of that era that we talked about where a Mr. Mosquito could happen, right?
Well, it needs to be like a Ludum Dare thing or something where like you go through and you solve, this should be like a portal, like not a combat game. Like you see things in the background, you have to stretch them to fit, to solve puzzles and navigation challenges or something, you know, that would be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Just making a combat, because the worst thing about this is you have this effect, but all you use is a slightly more button presses to do a punch.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the like actual effect ends up being like a huge snooze. Like it's just not very interesting.
it's a little bit like what if Surgeon Simulator was like what if Morrowind's combat was Surgeon Simulator?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, and you're just swinging a sword.
Yeah.
But by making that a bunch of different button presses, you don't do a whole lot.
Yeah.
You know,
have you ever played, Probably Archery?
No.
It is that ethos. So it is the Surgeon Simulator ethos applied to an archery game. So like you're doing like super awkward controls and you have to account for a lot of like different angles and risk kind of things. And you're shooting at incredibly like increasingly weird targets. It's actually pretty fun. It's a good time.
Yeah. That sounds like something I would dig.
Yeah.
You know, loving, with my love of archers.
Yeah.
And my love of uncertainty.
You're a regular Nicolas Cage's weatherman with your love of archery.
I once was the Lord of War.
Yeah.
Now I have been downgraded.
Accuracy counts.
I love, it's one of the worst guns you can get in Enter the Gungeon.
Yeah.
Is the Devolver, and it makes enemies into weaker versions of themselves. But if you, the basic bullet enemies turn to little archers, little arrowheads that have bows and arrows.
Neat. That's really good.
That's a cute little touch.
Yeah, that's such a creative game.
It's really good. Yeah. Like, it took me a long time it's hard. Like, it took me a little while to get over the hump, but I put in my good, like, 100 hours of it and feel really good about it.
Like, yeah, I do not feel confident with the dodge roll in that. Like, I understand that it's good and it's predictable and it works. I just, it is just kind of above my weight class in terms of, like, precision. Yeah.
And it's also, it's got that inelegance where it has the blanks system where you can like just get rid of all the bullets on the screen for when you can't do that.
Yeah.
And that feel like a weird, like it makes sense in the game and conserving them becomes its own strategy, but it also feels like a weird papering over the fact that they wanted to get more intense bullet hells than are really reasonable.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? So they wanted to give you some outs.
Mm-hmm.
What else about Stretch Panic? I feel like all the games that we're recording today, we're recording three episodes today for people, and not everyone's going to hear all of those episodes, but like, they're just like kind of interesting and I got a tight five on them.
Yep.
And that's what I got.
Yep.
You know, and there's just not a whole lot more to it.
No.
There is some real game fact stuff we're going to have to get to in this.
Okay. So I'm
curious. In a pretty serious way.
I'm curious about that because I only have two links. One of which is the FAQ and the other one is a very funny, topic more than anything. I've been writing a fanfic of this game. Would anybody be interested in reading?
Oh, you have to go to it.
What?
Like on Archive of Our Own Beta, where Freight Train Frank's fanfic library is.
Oh no.
So it's not as good as I want it to be. Like I'm not, it's fan fiction. So like the Stretch Panic fan fiction, chapter 2 prologue, go fuck yourself, right? For one. Chapter 2 prologue. but it's just like, it's pretty, you know, pretty standard fan fiction, right? Like it's not, you know, the sun was shining down on a girl named Linda as she carried a huge stack of presents along the road. Like
is it just a novelization of the game?
It's really what it feels like. This guy is a fanfiction guy of some caliber. Like his chapter 2, the prologue, I can't get over that, has 28 comments. So this guy has like some cachet.
Huh.
You know? And I don't understand fanfiction in general.
Right, right.
It's not going to be, I'm not trying to Starman this internet subculture that's important to young people.
Right.
And not important to me. But like, this guy is no slouch in this. So it is just, if you want to read, let me see how many chapters it is, like many, many chapters of a Stretch Panic like side story. It doesn't seem like a full novelization. It feels like It is kind of a novelization and then with some of his own twists.
Yeah. Huh. Let's see here. Notes at the end. I decided to give the sisters human names different from their demon ones.
No,
Okay, so yeah, just a bunch of like footnotes explaining the choices that he made.
it does go through all the bosses. So there are nine chapters in this that go through all the bosses before he fell off it, fighting Face Off, the silly pun character, the last door there. But also Freight Train Frank
He's
has
got his fingers in a lot of pies. He's got
that's the thing
his
about
list
him.
of fandoms is pretty big, with the most populated one being Gravity Falls.
Gravity Falls, Super Mario, lots of Undertale, of course.
Ops.
Here,
Little Inferno. I'm curious about that.
that's really interesting to me too. Here's this Ask Wario one, which I feel like is a real disappointing thing. Wahaha, Wario here, and it's been a while since my last big adventure. While I do not like, well, I do like not having to do anything for long periods of time, I also miss being able to get lots of cash through various degrees of stealing. Anyway, it looks like I have some time off from treasure hunting and running my video game company, so why don't you guys drop in any questions you'd like to ask about the great Wario? It's not like any of you have anything better to do. Just leave it in a review or a PM, however you people do these things. That's chapter one. Chapter two. Given the choice between fighting Mario and company or Bowser, who would you choose? Wario picked his nose and said, "Really, I'd have to go with fighting whoever had the best things to steal and whoever seems the funnest to fight. If both of those things are equal, then I think I'd go with fighting Bowser. He seems to be muscling in on my mischief racket." And that's the end of the fanfic. I really feel like this is a misunderstanding of Wario, the likes the world has never seen.
It really is.
Like, I am very upset by this portrayal of my good boy Wario.
Take to Twitter.
Yeah.
Get this taken down. Get this filth taken down.
Let's get this Wario in Smash. Like, oh, hello. I didn't see you come in. Would you like to sample one of my farts? I have a motorcycle. Would you like to see it? No, it's like, I don't use contractions because I am Wario.
I understand that picking your nose is rude. However, my airway is restricted, so.
Yeah. What else am I to do? I am in the privacy of my own home, of course.
Yes.
Who are you to impinge upon the great
Yes,
Wario?
and I do make sure to rub it into a Kleenex or drop it directly into a waste receptacle. I do not throw it into the corner like a common cur.
Yeah, like that Bowser, who is my canon enemy and the one I'd like to tangle with.
My canon enemy.
Kind of weird. And it's not horny at all.
So that's the thing. I think that that
Yeah,
is
like I don't.
that is the what is it? The soft prejudice of low expectations. I see fanfic and I immediately think it's going to be erotic.
Yeah, here is the fur coat summary. Peach gets a gift in the mail from a relative. I just skimmed it. That's what happened.
It's just slice of life, you know?
It was a little like flash fiction slice of life of what if Peach got a coat in the mail? Chapter one, end of the story.
It's real nice. I mean, just a little segment on Perry Home Companion.
Yeah.
Let's see what he has to say about Undertale. Ooh, a spidery prank. Summary: set in an AU of sorts where Muffet acts as a motherly figure toward Frisk. Frisk decides to pull a classic prank on their spider mother. Notes: an AU I thought of that could be interesting and fluffy. I may do more stories in this AU. Hey, dog, Undertale is already
Okay.
pretty fluffy.
Yeah, it's this is unnecessary. The elevator ride to the sky summary done for a Reddit prompt challenge. So
Cool.
some of these Peach and Daisy like slice of life things are people being like, can you make an exciting fan fiction about this? And the answer is no.
No.
But he doesn't, he's still gonna make a chance. But don't starve. Fan fiction, this is weird, man. I don't know. Willow devises a plan to escape the mysterious island, a plan that will take advantage of her seeming immunity to fire.
So here's the thing, and this is where I get a little iffy, is we said it's not erotic. Hey, Gary, is this erotic?
Uh-oh. Which one?
No, it just
Oh.
like what we're talking about, is it erotic?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Like you think that maybe somebody is actually like masturbating to the idea of
I
Peach
mean,
getting a coat in the mail?
somebody's masturbating to us right now. Like it's
Yeah. Stop.
everything. I don't care. I'm not going to tell you what to do.
What if they can only come if I yell at them?
Okay.
Don't cockblock them.
Yeah.
Whatever you do, don't jerk off.
The shortest jerk off instruction ever. Stop.
Yeah. Stop. Please keep telling me to stop, Senpai.
But yeah, Freight Train Frank really kind of lives in the Gravity Falls universe.
Yeah, and I don't know enough about Gravity Falls to like really judge that. So maybe there is some eroticism in there.
Maybe, but he's like there are no archive warnings that apply. So yeah,
it's very pure in a way that is also kind of gobsmacking. And I think it's sad that he went to the GameFAQs board, did an advertisement for this, and no one replied. And it was a year ago that he did it. I think all of that lines up to be a pretty sad short story. I get that it's kind of, I don't know if I ever told you this, my ex-wife before she met me wrote erotic fan fiction about Stephen Colbert.
Okay.
Online for like People, and had like a following.
Is that something that she's fine having you say on the show?
Yeah, I think so. I mean she doesn't do it now, but it's just like a thing that she used to do.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, it's pretty weird.
Yeah,
I don't know. I just don't get it.
Yeah, yeah. I had a girlfriend in middle, as much as you can have a girlfriend in middle school, but like a girl that I liked in middle school, like her and her sister wrote like fan fiction about NSYNC and Oasis.
Hmm.
And like, yeah. I don't know that it was erotic, but it was like, what kind of wacky fun adventures did they get to on the tour bus and stuff? You know, I don't think that it necessarily. So short answer.
The adventures weren't necessarily erotic.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like what have we fucked? It was it was just like I want to write about these artists that I like.
What if we stole some gems?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The amazing heist. So we've got the bag man. We've got the demolitions expert.
Justin Timber.
We've got the face.
The third one. The guy from Nuke. I think we talked about it before specifically in terms of spank material, but it is a broad thing where like I can watch a thing and very much love the characters, but I don't feel the need to. I think a lot of times fan fiction comes from this like just desire for the characters to like other people just feel them stronger than I do and feel like they're more real than I do.
Yeah.
And feel like, you know, they have to have continuing adventures. Like they have to be happy. They have to have, you know, these intrigues and stuff like that. Like,
yeah.
And they just live for people in a way they don't for me. Like a character lives on the page, you know, to me, or in the show or in the game. Like I don't take it out of that.
Yeah.
And like, I never feel like, you know, I would want that.
So like we can laugh at the banality of Freight Train Frank's output. For me, there are two things that specifically get me a little bit wary about looking down on it too hard. First of which is queering, right?
Sure.
The fandoms who look at characters and either take stuff that's already there or, you know, bring their own interpretations and do their ships. Like that is just something that's it is not for me. It doesn't really impinge on my enjoyment of other things because you have to choose to expose yourself to it. In the past, I exposed myself to it and got annoyed, but then I decided, nope, I don't have to seek it out and it's gone and that's okay.
Yeah.
So it's like I don't want to accidentally like fire off the hip about how pointless this is and make somebody feel bad.
Specifically, I just want to, but I also want to make sure everyone knows that we're saying this in response to Frank Train Frank's sweater fiction. Like right. this is not queering of anything. So like like that is not what I was referring to.
Oh yeah,
it's good to draw that line.
But I didn't think you were. Yeah. But yeah, there's definitely a line about like fan fiction at large, and Freight Train Frank is a subset I don't know that I've ever seen before. Although I guess there's plenty of pointless fan fiction.
Yeah. It's probably mostly this.
Yeah. And the other side of it is like, I don't know, what do you just want to write? You just want to play with some blocks that are already there, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
I get that as an exercise. I guess it is just the,
it's weird to share it. Yeah.
To share it, and also just I have never had that impulse to like take a ready-made character and do stuff with them. Like it is the like a big part of the fun of writing is like taking, you know, is making your own stuff to me.
I did when I was super young, you know. I don't know, grew out of it is a weirdly condescending way to say it.
It was no longer interesting.
Yeah, well, like, would you consider like the Worlds of Power stuff to be like fan like fan writing. I understand that, like, they're, you know, they take an existing thing and use it as a springboard and you're making it as a parody, but, like, I don't know.
I don't think all parody is fan writing. I think that it's like, you know, like, if you're making fun of something and it's for, like, a humor, and I'm not saying there's no humorous fan fiction out there, but it's not driven by the same impulses that I am imagining some of this is driven by, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, that's more of like doing a pastiche of something doesn't feel the same as just being like, what else did Solaire do after Dark Souls 1?
Exactly.
You know, like that just feels like it comes from a different place. I think, you know, it's not a super blunt distinction, but to my mind, at least in terms of intention, there's a distinction.
Yeah.
There. It's just, it's a weird thing too. Like when I think about like queering stuff, like, that is one of those just like big milestones in the, it doesn't have to make sense to me.
Yeah. Aisle. Yeah.
You know, where I just have to be like, I do not understand this, but it's also, I don't have to understand it. It's like a privilege that I was never driven to do this.
Yeah. It's like, you know? It's like, oh yeah. Like there's like a bunch, like most media is like made for me. I don't have to take any extra, I don't have to take steps. Any extra steps to like, to
have a sense of representation.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And it's the same thing, like, but it's also, I think that, you know, like, it doesn't mean that you, like, it would be out of line to badmouth it and it can exist and I'm not voting for it to be erased. I'm not going to, like, waste energy trying to stop it or anything. Mm-hmm. But also, it's okay for it not to make sense to me, too.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's one of those things. And I think that a lot of times, like, reactionary douchebags, when they're confronted with something like that, they feel like they're being asked to appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, I just, like, that's just not going to happen. I don't have it within me to appreciate it as a thing other than just... that it, some people like it and it has some inherent good, but I can't appreciate it as art and I'm not being asked to.
Yeah.
And I think that's the line that I think a lot of like reactionary douchebags like can't get over, like, you know, oh, you know, Waypoint published this fan fiction at the end of the thing that's gay. They're telling me I have to like this. Like, no, they're not.
Well,
you don't have to like it. Like,
as a person on the internet who has visited a website, I have to enjoy it linearly. Every single thing that they have put on, I need to read every bit of it. They're forcing me to.
Every single thing that is put, that is said or put online is not an endorsement mailed directly to you. Like, it's not an implication that you should feel a way about it.
Yeah.
You know, some things just like, are not for you in a literal way, and that's okay in both directions. It doesn't mean that like you have to be like, oh, you know what, I kind of get it, maybe I'll broaden my horizons and like read some fan fiction. Like, no, I just don't like, I will support like queer artists and stuff, but I'm and look for those perspectives, but I'm not gonna magically change my opinion on fan fiction because of it. I don't have to and no one's asking me to. But it's very easy to feel like you are being like asked. I think that's, and it's, and I'm not trying to let these guys off the hook, like it's shitty of them, but I think that's what's happening in their head.
Maybe. And you know, if there are a lot of things that like, oh, if I could instantly teach the entire world something, there are a lot of things, here's one for today. The word or the phrase huh is incredibly freeing if you can just work in huh as your reaction to something. That is fine. That is actually that's perfectly valid and reasonable, and then you can move on. Like, it's right up there with this is it, fuck it, it is what it is, like those three.
And then you don't have to type it. Like, if somebody, you know, if somebody puts that on their thing and it's not for you, like, you don't have to like type huh either. You just think huh and then move on to something you do like, because there's infinite content you know, in the world. Like, the thing, like, I don't feel a punchy piece of wisdom that I have said that I haven't read elsewhere, so I will take credit for, that I want to have be like my really big tweet and never it is just like, you don't have to treat things said online as a note wrapped around a brick thrown through your window. And like, people do. It's just like, well, you said that, like, it happens all the time with you know, like, people will like search.
This is something that like, I think specifically happens to you in a way that I don't understand.
I don't know how, because they're just searching for it. They're not people who follow me.
Well, like you tweeted about something. You tweeted like, about a beloved Japanese RPG a while back, and then it was somebody who didn't follow you, who didn't follow you, who like made it your evening.
Just like searched out for it. And also about like, what was the band? There's like a band I didn't like, and it happened too. Iggy Pop. Somebody on Curious Cat asked me what I thought of Iggy Pop. I'm like, I mostly like Iggy Pop. I don't listen to it very much. And then somebody who just searches Iggy Pop, like a lady who runs a Tumblr, like a Iggy Pop blog and Etsy store.
Yeah.
Just searched Iggy Pop and then was just like, I actually like Iggy Pop.
And I'm like, you, Gary, you might have died not knowing that she liked Iggy Pop.
And same thing with like video game things. Like I'll you know, it's like I will talk about something with people who, you know, who I know, or just in general have an observation, and people just search it out and they're just like, well, I'm gonna respond to this because since it is online,
mm-hmm.
like it is directed to me. And I am, it is my job to respond to it.
Text
and that is just like an attitude to divest yourself of. Like, that is not how it works. Like, I read a lot of stuff online that I disagree with really hard and just don't say anything.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, I'm not patting myself on the back. It's just the minimum.
Yeah.
You know, so you don't have to treat, it's not, you know, it's not about you.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes people just talk and maybe they're talking to people who aren't you, and maybe you don't need to like let them know that you disagree,
mm-hmm.
or let them know what you think about the thing.
Yeah.
You know, like sometimes that can be welcome, you know, but a lot of times I think it's more often than not erring on the side of just like letting it be is the best.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's just God. So not to turn this back into niece chat, but like I've been spending a lot of time like at her volleyball games and concerts and stuff. It's real neat to be involved in her life in that way. Something that just at her middle school, though, like they've got these signs up, and I forget the slogan, but it's like, before you post, think. And then think is an acronym where it's like, is this thoughtful, helpful, kind of whatever, and then the end is kind, right? And then like, you know, like maybe you can put an A on there, like, is this additive, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, you don't have like white noise is fine, you can do that, but like at what point are you making somebody else's are you making your white noise somebody else's problem?
Throwing something at somebody and just adding a little bit of friction to their day for no real reason. And I'm not like, you know, that's not me, like I know I don't have this particularly bad or anything like that. It's just a phenomenon I'm commenting on. I'm not trying to say like, I'm not trying to equate me having somebody name searching, you know, Iggy Pop and interfacing with me. I'm not equating that to
there's a whole world of harassment and stuff that you're not actually, you're not exposed to just by virtue of genetic lottery.
genetic lottery. Exactly. So I'm not equating that. It's just a bizarre posture.
Yeah.
And bad netiquette.
It's been and baffling. Like, you know, I will look at your Twitter to see pictures of Pocket because he's a cute little demon.
He's staring at the ceiling right now and I don't know why.
Greta's staring out the window. She made her way back up to the windowsill. I'll look on there, but also like weirdly to think like, okay, what kind of drama's coming down the pike for us? Because people will just go to you to air their grievances in a way that they don't for me because we use Twitter in different ways. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's probably smarter to do it the way that you do it. Like, I don't think it's a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, the way that I use it, like that's on my list of, and has been on my list like of 2018, but also in 2019 to like reexamine how I use social media and try to find the root causes of like why I do some of the things I do on there. And none of it's good. Like the reason why I haven't confronted it is because like, the answers are not going to say good things about me.
Right.
You know, so it's just, it's hard realization stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's not going to be for a good reason that I put myself through that. It's going to be some kind of character failing that I don't feel like grappling with.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
but aside from the people just kind of like constantly provoking you, there are those baffling things of people doing like name searches and stuff.
The Iggy Pop Etsy lady.
Yeah.
Who has an Etsy dedicated to Iggy Pop.
Mm-hmm.
And also is just searching Iggy Pop to just say, I like Iggy Pop whenever anyone says Iggy Pop. Like it's a kid talking about soda pop.
Yeah.
Or something.
Well, no, what she's cosplaying as a bumper sticker online.
Yeah. The mummy's ready for his mystic journey. Love Grimby. It's a bizarre man. Internet man. This was a lady though. I'm really surprised. Like that's dude behavior to like just name search a thing and do that, but it was a lady, so pretty bonkers though. I don't know. All part of life search pageant.
Fuck. We've been going for about 40 minutes, Gary.
Yeah, let's end this. Let's shoot this fucker. If you like this show, the best thing you can do is patronize us. If you don't, you get two bonus episodes per month. Two
of them. Count them.
And if you patronize at a higher level, at $10, you get 60 plus back episodes of it,
Yes.
that are all just immediately in your feed. It will be like, boy, I have two whole calendar days
Yep.
of podcasting all of a sudden to listen to.
Yeah, I need to go and grab all those files and then see how much time they add up to, because I think that could actually be like a really good advertising. Like we can say you get access to how many days of extra stuff.
It's significant though.
Yeah.
60 plus episodes plus adaptation decay and stuff. It's probably 3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
Check that out. You can also rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you can find a review. You can tell your friends about it. Those are all good things.
Yeah, suggest games. Go to our webpage and then look for the suggestion header on there, and you can add stuff to our database. We have moved to a model that is mostly listener demands, or patron demands, rather, at the $25 tier. But the way that things become subjects for those premium episodes is if it is recommended more than once, then that enters the pool for being pulled randomly for the vote.
Yeah, and people on our Patreon, at any level can vote.
Yes,
So
or
you'll
it's
see those
at
votes.
the $5. Sorry.
Oh, at the $5. Sorry. If you get the episodes, you can vote for them.
Yes.
So, yeah, so put those in if you want to hear them. And that's about it.
Think so.
Who is Stretch Arm Dog?
Who is Boob Dog? Come on.